Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If there were a trophy, right, for being the best roofing contractor in Memphis, it would go to Chris McCulley. Rain outside. Dude, I got so many projects in my house. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm overwhelming them with projects.
Good.
No, it's not good. It's good for him. This is good for him. For me, though, I'm like, dang.
Oh, he make you a good deal.
Can you say HELOC? That's what a brother gonna have to take out after all these projects. But the good news is I don't have to, like, go all around Memphis, you know? I can just call one dude. Chris McCulley, he can handle all of it. Whether it's roofing, whether it's retaining wall, whether it's projects around the house, you know, some plumbing. Like, he does it all. When he comes out, let him know you heard about him on the Jason and John show. He's going to throw in a free roofing upgrade.
Check out the website, McCulleyRoofingLLC.com. Then lock in the number, 901-487-7096. It's smart to lock it in because, like we say, whether it's now or later, you're eventually going to have issues with your roof if you're a homeowner. Just part of the deal. And then, again, renovation questions. You want to build that that outside patio up, freshen that thing up, have a new look on it, build out your upstairs. Chris McCulley and his team going to handle that as well. They got the trophy, all right. Try taking it from him, too, strong as he is. You're not going to do it. 901-487-7096, voted most popular roofing company. Got a bunch of five-star reviews on Facebook. You can see for yourself over at McCulley Roofing and Renovations.
You ever taken out a HELOC, bruh? You never thought about it? It's a little complicated. It's kind of hard for me to understand. I'm like, all right, well, how much do I got to pay back and by when? Like,
what's kinda, a HELOC?
It's like it's a home equity line of credit, right? It's the you draw down on the you know, on the principal and then the interest, but you only have to pay the interest. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Interesting.
But it's like with like interest rates where they are right now, it's not the best time to do it. But you know, a lot of times they'll run, the rates will still be a lot better than like your average credit card. You know what I mean?
So yeah, like, you don't want to put that kind of thing on a credit card.
Yeah, so like let's just say, right, you had $20,000 of improvements you have to make on your home, right? Well, you don't want to put that on a credit card because unless you plan on paying that off, that $20,000 is going to become $30,000, $35,000, right? So you put on a HELOC and you borrow against the equity of your home, the interest rate, you know, would be like whatever the mortgage rates are today, you know. So it could be 4%, 5%, as opposed to 18%, 25%. You know, I don't know what you're, I mean, I'm assuming you're a man of great credit, great standing, but, you know, you have to shop around and,
doing okay.
You know, and I'm proud of you for that. You know, you got it out the mud. You got better credit than me, man. And that says probably a lot about me, you know, that my credit is as bad as it is, you know, some decisions I've made along the way. But yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to have to do it.
And we can tell you're looking at it.
Things just crop up on you, man. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be all in on my home projects.
Now I see what you're doing. Now you're getting there.
Much like several teams around the NBA are going to be all in this season as the schedule release.
Oh, you landed that plane.
It was a little wobbly. You know, we had some headwinds. But see, that's the thing. The plane last year for Memphis basketball was flying upside down like Denzel. But it landed, didn't it?
Oh, he got it turned back around.
Yeah.
Penny did.
And we landed this plane. The schedule release is 2 o'clock. We're cursed. I mean, we don't get that. You know, the Giannotto and Jeffrey show was blessed with that one. But there is a piece up at ESPN.com about teams this season and beyond who are all in. Imagine Jason looking down at a pair of twos and two twos hit the flop.
Woo!
He's all in. Couldn't even wait. Right?
Push it in.
Push the chips in.
Yep.
Now, they go through many teams in the NBA, and they start with this tier. All in on a championship this season. There are six teams. Brooklyn Nets, Clippers, Heat, Bucks, Sixers, and the Suns. I think those are all very obvious. Now, the Nets may not be, ultimately, when it's all said and done, right? I mean, they are now with the roster as it is.
Yeah.
But if
still, could, things could change.
If they end up trading Kevin Durant.
I think we're leaning towards they're not going to do that, though. Joe Tsai's going to call his bluff here.
Mark Stein was kind of hinting at that he could retire.
Well, that turned out to
be. And then
be,
he shot that
down. Shot that on down.
Yeah. So those are the six teams that are all in on a chance. I mean, I don't really think there's even much. I mean, the Heat are, but they can't. I mean, last year felt like the Heat's year to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they just broke down at the end. Kyle Lowry was probably 30 pounds overweight. Jimmy Butler did everything. Max Strus had a three turned to a two for no apparent reason. Or was it it was taken off the board completely, right?
Yes.
They took it off the – they took 3 points off the board, bro. They lost by four. I mean, you know, that's just one that you don't get over as a Miami Heat fan. The Suns are all in on a championship because they have the contracts and they have Chris Paul. So, of course, they're going to be all in, and they just paid DeAndre Ayton. So, Bucks have Giannis, Chris Middleton, et cetera. 76ers have James Harden, Joel Embiid. They just went out and they got P.J. Tucker. Yes, they're going to be – the Clippers have Kawhi. It's all – you know, what does it mean to be all in on a championship season? It means you have a bunch of old veteran guys who are on max deals, you know, whose prime years are running out.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Well, that and they've – as the piece puts it, you've exhausted most of your resources in pursuit of the success right now. So you've traded away draft picks, those kinds of things beforehand, and it's for those reasons that they do not have the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics, the two teams that were just in the finals, in this all-in, because they haven't so far gambled away any of their picks or future as opposed to these other teams for the instant success. They still have, at least an eye on the long term. Now, yeah. I mean, the Celtics clearly went, you go out and get Malcolm Brogdon to correct your turnover issue. You're right at a win, but in terms of throwing away the future,
yep.
You know, gambling the future,
yep.
Your future picks, all that, they haven't done that, and neither have the Golden State Warriors. So I get it. At first, you're looking at this thing, what do you mean all in, not all in on a championship? Both teams just went to the finals. But they, unlike the some of these other teams, the Clippers, some of these teams like the Nets, they haven't gambled away the future for instant success. That's the way the piece puts it.
Yes.
I would agree. They're on a lower tier, and a tier that also includes the Grizzlies.
Now, yeah, like you mentioned, there is the next tier down, which is all in on a championship over the next five seasons. There's only four teams, and this is the group, to me, it feels like you want to be on, right? It's the Boston Celtics. It's the Denver Nuggets. It's the Golden State Warriors, and it is the Memphis Grizzlies. These are the four teams. Now, it's interesting that they have the Warriors in this group. I mean, I feel like they're kind of all in now, just as a function of who they, you know, like just their roster, right? And not because of like any like moves
but
they made.
They only own one future first-round pick.
Right.
That's it. So they've got all their picks is the point that they've got all this right now, but they also have youth, and they have all of their picks.
They do have some youth, but it's very unproven youth. I mean, Moses Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman, that's all speculative youth.
Jordan Poole is proven youth.
That's true.
Proven youth.
Okay, he's the one. He's the one they have.
But and out of those other three, you feel pretty good about, just to the point that for an old veteran team that's coming off a hell of a run and hell of an era, they've still got enough youth that you can work that in. It's not like most old teams that have won the way Golden State has. But their point, John, of having them lower tier is that they've got all their future draft picks. Those teams that are all in right now that they've got the tier ahead of them do not. That's the point. Golden State and Boston still owe. Oh, Golden State's only got one future first-rounder that they owe.
But doesn't that kind of make you all in now, though, because you'd have no picks? I mean, the Grizzlies have picks, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Golden State has picks.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying they do have picks.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Golden State and Boston, that's the way this piece has broken them down,
yeah.
Have their picks still. Golden State only owes one. The other teams, the Nets, those teams, they don't have anything. Phoenix, they're all in right now because they don't have a future. Picks, everything else.
Yeah.
That's why they've got Golden State and Boston on that list.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, they say, vaulted into this tier ahead of schedule. Memphis is one of the youngest teams to finish in the league's top two in regular season wins. Corey Desmond Bane, 24, Ja, 23, Jaren, 22. The Grizzlies window is wide open. So I think the natural question just becomes, when do you go from being all in, you know, in the next 5 years to it is time? it's time to cash in the chips. It's time to go for it. You know, I don't know when that time is. I think that's the tricky. Maybe you don't have to do anything. That's the ideal recipe. You just like let it play out. You just like let Ja and Jaren and Bane develop, and hopefully like one of these rookies hits. Laravia, Kennedy Chandler, who's the third guy?
Roddy.
Yeah, Roddy. Exactly. You hope one of those hit, and you don't have to do anything. But like, how often does that happen?
Well, the next step feels like to me is trying to find out if Dylan Brooks is going to accept the extension at your number.
Yep.
Right. So then, is he part of the future and part of this? What you're trying to build is Dylan's put it a dynasty includes him and your four main guys, him, Jaren, Bane, and Ja, obviously. So that's to me, that's where it seems like you're at in terms of on the floor. Heck, I mean, Jaren's not going to be there to start, but that was the point, is trying to get just all four of them out there so you get an idea. But then it really comes down to Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
Because you've got a number, right, in terms of what you've paid Ja and Jaren already, what you're going to have to pay Bane. You got a number that you got to keep Dylan at. It's going to be, frankly, do you want to be a part of this or not? Once you find that out, whether Dylan Brooks is a part of it or not, then you decide, okay, we've got these picks. Now we got some room. We got some money. What do we decide to do with it? Is it now time to go all in and push it in at that point? I mean, that's how these steps have got to go, and really the next piece of it is finding out whether or not Dylan Brooks is going to accept that contract extension, again, at your number, 4 for $60 or whatever the heck it's going to be. It's got to be at your number. Then you move forward to see.
Yep.
Right? Then it's, okay, you got a big three rather than a big four. How do we proceed in terms of filling out the rest of this thing and going all in?
Yep.
I mean, that's how this thing's got to operate step by step now.
Well, and it's just so
and so you'll be there. It feels like you want to rush it, right? You want to get there, have the answer,
especially when you finish.
So you can go in before. But remember, again, Ja just turned 23.
Well,
Jaren said, man, you're a young team right now that's got all the time in the world.
And I also think too, like I made this point before, but I'll make it again here.
It's not all the time in the world, but you got your windows there.
Yeah,
I don't want to go too far.
No, I'm with you because
Ja's on a set contract,
right?
And Lord knows you just can't bank on him staying here forever.
And the truth
is, you got to maximize.
You don't know what you don't know yet.
That's true.
Like, you still don't know what you're okay, obviously, like, if it's like a, pick a great, if it's a Jason Tatum. Obviously, everybody needs a Jason Tatum. But Jason Tatum's never going to be on the market. So you got to ask yourself, like, what do we truly need, and is this guy going to bring us that, and are we willing to pay the price? Well, we don't really know, like, again, because the playoffs was a little distorted in the sense of they lost Ja midway through the series. Who knows how that series could have turned out? Wow. They should have won game one, right? Easily. I mean, they, had a chance there at the end. Draymond Green got ejected. They should have won that game. And then they lost Ja after game three. So, we really still don't know what the core needs would be when we're talking about championship. Like, is it shooting? I mean, you could always have more shooting. But, like, you're not going all in on just a shooter. You know what I mean? Is it a center? Is it a big? Because Steven Adams might not be the long-term, option there. They might want to go make a bigger splash. I don't know. So I think you kind of have to let them earn a little bit more scars than that before you are willing to say, all right, let's pull the trigger, let's pull the lottery. other teams all in on playoff success. The Atlanta Hawks, the Bulls, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Blazers. Apparently the Blazers are all in on playoff success for some reason. Not sure how they intend to get there, right? Because, that's going to be very difficult for them. They're not making the playoffs.
They're including the trade for Jeremy Grant and saying that's a team that's trying to.
Bro, they are not making the playoffs. But I guess that's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I mean, they're trying to do that. But you tell me, whose spot they taking?
Oh, I don't have Portland in the playoffs.
Man, that's crazy to me. That's why I was like, it didn't make sense to me that Dame re-signed. Like, bro, you've done it. You got to the Western Conference Finals. That's all you're ever going to do there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've topped out there. It's time to go. It's time to go to somewhere, a different place. I don't know where that is. But, like, look, the Suns aren't going anywhere. The Grizz aren't going anywhere. Warriors aren't going anywhere. Mavs aren't going anywhere.
Utah's coming out.
Jazz are done, yep. So that's one spot. But the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, but the Clippers are going to take that spot,
I just think between the Thunder, the Clippers, teams that are coming up from down, it's still going to be tough for Portland, I would think.
Portland's all in the play-in.
Again, let's be real. LeBron is saying, you ain't going to have me out.
Exactly.
How much I believe into is different, but the Lakers aren't sitting here saying, we're going to be behind Portland. Believe
that. Are they better than,
and certainly from a talent standpoint, in that starting five, you'd have to put the Lakers above them. So that's what I say. It's going to be a tough road for Portland to make the playoffs, brother.
Yeah.
Maybe even be one of the play-in teams.
I think that's really what it comes down to for the Trailblazers is, are they better than the Lakers? I don't think so. As bad as the Lakers are, I don't think they're better. I would take the Lakers in a 7-game series against the Portland Trailblazers.
What my thing would be, do you understand what Minnesota's done in terms of trading away some of those future assets for playoff success? Realize that's a playoff-starved organization. And you saw just how starved they were, about how happy they got just to be in them against the Grizzlies. But the point is that's enough, because it's, you know, clearly at one point the Grizzlies decided, well, for us it's not. We're going to blow this thing up and go a different direction. You strike on luck, get John Morant, and it puts you there faster. But for Minnesota, you've traded away the future for the playoffs. Like, Rudy Gobert is not a guy who's going to get you, advance you in the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's the point, is that, well, at some point around here we decided, well, it's been nice, but we want more. We're going bigger picture here. We're looking at Milwaukee. They've done it. Small markets can do this. We're not going to be OKC that has talent and blows it, right? That's the whole point. For Minnesota, this is not a move for a championship. This is a move for playoff success. And I'd ask you, is that the right thing to do when you got a dude who looks like he could be a lot like Ja in terms of Anthony Edwards and the star that he could be? Well, now you've gambled away a lot of your future picks.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? In terms of building around, is it the right approach for Minnesota? Again, especially when you've got a guy like Anthony Edwards, looks like he could be an absolute star. I think they've blown it here in terms of knee-jerk reaction. Let's do something big here under some new leadership. Let's do something big. And yeah, it's going to get you some playoff appearances, but again, that looks like it's going to be all that it adds up to, because after that, you won't have the picks to develop guys to get further. I'd have done it a different way, much like maybe the Grizzlies are doing it, when I've got a guy like Anthony Edwards. Again, they're all in on playoff success. I think ESPN's got him in the right spot. They're all in, but just on making the playoffs.
Yep. But they don't think of it like that. That's the crazy part. You know, they think they're...
Well, they've been out so long, I kind of get that they're starved, right? Last year, you could see it. What was the drought? It was years, over a decade or whatever it was. That for them is good enough. Around here, though, you know, we did that. We're ready for something bigger.
Well, some people appreciated those years, Jason.
Well, yeah, you wanted to keep it together. That's my way of keeping them, bringing that up on you.
Forever. Forever.
But what I tell you, we had to dream big, and we did, and we were rewarded for doing it.
Among your best.
We were rewarded for dreaming big.
Among your
best
takes.
By getting the number two pick.
Among your best aging takes on the show, for sure.
And what I said was, it didn't have to be a Sacramento Kings rebuild where you never get back. It can go a different way. And it absolutely did.
Now, in fairness,
with a huge stroke of luck,
that's exactly right,
to headline it.
That's,
there was no promise of that.
That's the difference. I mean, if they didn't,
but it had, you got to be willing to do it to take the chance. You don't win the lottery without buying the ticket.
Well, that's true. That's true. But if they don't draft Ja, they don't get number two. We're having a, who knows where the Grizzlies are right now.
It could look a lot more like the Kings.
Yeah,
we're just in the abyss.
I think that's,
and you don't know if you're coming or going.
I think that's something that gets taken for granted. You know, like. Dude, the Grizzlies would have been in NBA purgatory for a long time had it not been for Ja Morant.
Well, just imagine how much different it would have been if they got the one pick.
That too.
Because then you'd be dealing with more question marks on, are we good, are we not? Is Zion out there? Is he good?
Crazy.
Is he going to be all right or not?
Crazy.
Because you would have taken him one.
Man.
You end up two, and you probably end up with the best thing out of the draft.
Take the probably
out of it. You did.
They drafted Ja Morant in what, 2019? I mean, 2020 would have been a wash. 2021 would have been a wash. Now, well, it's hard to know, but like, was there any, like, you know, I'm thinking of like the best players, right? Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero, but none of those dudes are as transformative, or would have been as transformative as Ja Morant has been. You know, they're not the caliber of, like, I'm high on Paolo, but to get a electrifying point guard, I mean, that's the best thing you could ever have asked for, and they got it. At the two spot. I mean, it's just...
It's like winning a title already, because Memphis's luck had never been that good, period. Memphis sports deserved that kind of luck. That kind of, frankly, you could say divine intervention that you didn't even get the one in this case, that two might come out better than one. That's divine intervention. And Memphis sports deserved that just overall.
That's right.
As much as it had come up short, hadn't had luck go its way, all that stuff. It was time for it, too. And, I mean, the skies parted when they got the number two pick.
We
had no idea just how much so.
Well, yeah.
Even when they announced two.
Yeah.
We were happy.
Yeah.
We didn't realize how much it was going to change the game. Change everything about everything we know about that franchise.
Ja has been even better than I think we were optimistic. He's been even better than we thought he'd be. I mean, that's the crazy part. It's like we all had high expectations. Dude is surpassing him. I mean, all-star starter by year three. Unbelievable. Truly. Ridiculous. Number two seed in
the
West.
All-NBA by year three. That's crazy.
It's like you got to catch your breath a little bit sometimes. We like just sit back and think about just how, like, because when you're in it, you're like, oh, we're in it. But then we're like,
how fortunate you are.
The chain of events.
Have him, yes. Because it could have gone much differently.
The chain of events that happened for the Grizzlies to be where they are right now as a franchise.
I mean, look at OKC since they pushed the reset button. I know they got a lot of picks and maybe some of these guys have come through.
That's
been a mess since they pushed reset.
No, it's like, to me, I look at the Oklahoma City Thunder team like, crap in one hand, wish in the other, and see which one builds up faster. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a bunch of hope and dreams.
Exactly.
That you're selling.
It hadn't fit together at all yet.
Like, those dudes got
none of it.
They got to defend. They got to like each other. They got to make shots. They got to, like, you know, develop together. I mean, there's no promise of that. You know, what if Chet Holmgren is a bust? You know, I mean, what's that set you back? I mean, they look good on paper for a young team, but eventually, you're only young for so long. Then you're like, all right, the NBA timeline starts to say, okay, you've been young for 3 years now. It's time to start winning. It's time to start doing some material, you know, good things on the court rather than just be this theoretical team in 15 years, you know, or whatever, you know, eight. You know, Grizzlies made it right now. They said, you know what, to hell with that. We're ahead of schedule. This is our time now. They took that in their own hands. And, you know, the league will never be the same. I think that's what's fair to say. All right, we will come back. Rob Dosher is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Bronny James, Keontae Johnson, and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
FM, ESPN.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warmer G was on the street.
Rob Dosser runs the Field of 68. You know, it's always basketball season in Memphis. He joins us now. Rob, what up, man?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Oh, you know, it's August.
Pretty good.
Which means it's Penny Hardaway's busiest month of the recruiting calendar. You know what I mean? Like, every other coach is like, all right, here's what we got. What we looking at? Penny's like, can I sneak two more, like, high-profile guys in here before school starts? Is there another coach that you know of off the top of your head that, like, will do this as routinely as Penny?
At least he's not going after high school juniors this year, right? At least he's going after guys that have played in college basketball.
Fair point. I mean, when you put it like that, bro, I mean, it seems a little pointed.
I will say this, man. Like the Memphis team, I don't know if I've ever seen a basketball team that is as old as this Memphis team. They're probably older than like half of the G League.
Yes, they are.
Their nucleus is older than the Grizzlies. That's for real. For
Alex Lomax, fifth year. DeAndre Williams, fifth year. Malcolm Dandridge, he's a senior. Penny's kid, fifth year, right? All of the transfers that they're bringing in are all fifth-year guys. And DeAndre Williams is older than John Martin.
And he's got another year.
And they tell us he has another year, Rob.
And they intend, yes. And they intend to use it.
I never want this guy to graduate, man. Keep him around forever.
No, that's what we say. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people retire.
Dude is really going to have gray hair out there playing in a minute.
Yeah, like the gag is like some people retire, you know, as a whatever, as an LSU Tiger, as a Packer, whatever. Like DeAndre Williams is not going to only retire. He's going to die in the uniform, you know. Like, so that's the – but why kick him out of here? What's the rush? You know, enjoy your college years into your 30s, man, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've kind of seen – in college basketball in recent years, how important it is to, one, have, like, roster continuity, right? Two, have guys that are old and going to develop within a program, right? And three, have guys that aren't just 18- and 19-year-olds that you're relying on adjusting to this level. And if you look at the teams that have had success in the American, right, specifically Houston. Houston kind of does the same thing where they're just always old, they're always big, they're always tough, and they're always physical. You look at what Baylor does. You look at what Villanova did when they were winning their national titles, right? They had juniors and seniors everywhere, and it just so happened that the years that they had juniors and seniors that were pros and lottery picks, that was the year that they're winning national titles. Otherwise, they're just, you know, winning their conferences and they're being top 15 teams and they're making runs in tournaments. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing out of this group and out of this Memphis program now. And I do believe that you know, down the stretch of the year, the COVID year, right, when Memphis won the when they made the run in the NIT, right, and they didn't make the NCAA tournament, that was like a top 30, top 25 basketball team by the time stuff was all said and done. They just didn't have a resume to be able to prove it, right? Then last season, I think it was quite evident that if they didn't have that four-game stretch in November and December where they lost everything, you know, we're probably looking at a team that's like a 5 or 6 seed and a team that we can, you know, is not going to run into Gonzaga in the second round. You play anybody else in the second round, Memphis is a team that you're like, you know what? They have a chance, right? I think that's what we were all saying last year. And they almost beat Gonzaga, too. So, look, I think I kind of like what Penny's building there. I kind of like the identity that Memphis program has. And the fact that you now have a bunch of 23-year-olds sitting it out there and be physical in a sport where everybody's going to be 19 and 20 years old, where all of these guys are still going to be adjusting to the college basketball level, where you have guys that are just actual adults in grad school. You know, it's a smart way to play if you're going to play the style that Memphis has kind of employed the last 3 years.
On Bronny James, Rob, you know why Oregon's on him with the Nike ties, Ohio State because of, you know, where dad's from. We can understand those connections. But if you're Penny Hardaway or Juwan Howard or, heck, Shire, I mean, down at Duke, North Carolina, Do you put the full court press on Bronny and go after him, wanting him, you know, knowing what comes with it, which is, you know, the headlines, is he playing or not? Is he developing? Are you making him a first-round draft pick? My question for you is, if you're Penny Hardaway, Rob, are you going hard after Bronny James? By the way, your son is playing with him at Sierra Canyon this year. Ashton Hardaway is going out there. If you're Penny, are you putting the full court press on him?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't make it be the kind of priority where it's like, if we don't get Bronny James, our program is not going to be able to survive, right? I do think that there's something to be said for the spotlight that comes with it. You know, if you want attention on your college basketball program, the best way to do that is to go get Bronny James, because he's going to be the biggest name in college basketball, regardless of how good he's going to end up being. So I think that you have to also be built to be able to withstand that kind of spotlight, right? I think Michigan is. I think Duke absolutely is. They've had brands that were as big as Bronny James coming through. Zion Williamson was bigger than Bronny James is going to ever be when he was at Duke, right? And I think that Memphis, you know, what they dealt with last year and the fact that their coach is Penny Hardaway, a legend in and of himself in that city and in this country, in the sport, I think that it makes a lot of sense to go get him. Now, in terms of what Bronny's going to end up being as a player, like, I really hope people kind of understand that Bronny is not his dad,
right?
Like, he's never going to be his dad. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever he does and however hard he works, he will never be LeBron James. And I think the most unfair thing for him is the fact that he has that name, right? And I don't, maybe unfair is the wrong word to use, but the kid is going to end up being a really good college basketball player, and he's going to have a shot to make it as an NBA basketball player because of the fact that he's got pretty good size for his position. He's a really, really good shooter. He knows how to play. He knows how to defend. He's going to be athletic enough. I don't know if you guys saw him dunking on people out there in France, but if you kind of set your expectations where, like, okay, this dude could be a 3-and-D wing in college and be really effective as a freshman and then maybe find a way to get to the NBA just kind of playing a role, you know, that would be a really good career for Bronny James. Not everybody's going to end up being LeBron. For 99.9% of NBA players, getting one NBA paycheck means you made it. It means that you were successful in this business, in basketball. So I just hope people kind of have that level of expectation in terms of what he's going to be as a player. And if he's better, then great, awesome. Mm-hmm. We could be happy for him. But, like, the dude is a 6'4" scoring guard that isn't super talented and isn't super athletic and isn't a freak of nature. You know, there's only a certain ceiling that those guys are going to be able to have long term. Like, there's a reason why he's, like, what is he, like a top 40 recruit, top 30, something like that?
43, 49-ish, yep.
Yeah, and you know that that's got a little bit of a bump because of what his last name is. So, I hope I'm not, like, raining on the parade there. But, like, he's going to be a really good player, but the hype far exceeds what he's going to end up being.
That is the risk. That's kind of why I'm like, you know, I wouldn't go crazy on it. You know, what is your understanding of Keyontae Johnson? Memphis is on the Final Four for Keyontae, former Florida, you know, I guess forward. And it's Memphis, Nebraska, West Kentucky, and Kansas State. What's your understanding of, like, his basketball ability? Like, is he expected to, like, return and, like, be as awesome as he was 2 years ago?
Yeah, I've talked to people that have said, you know, he's still the same guy. He's been working out. You know, it's not like he hasn't done anything. He's just been kind of, you know, sitting around and waiting for a chance. Like, he's been working out. He's supposedly in really good shape. The problem is, like, everything you hear about every kid that every coach is recruiting and, you know, every officer, like, oh, he's great. Love this kid. He's going to have a big impact for us. Well, what does a big impact mean? Does that mean you think he's going to be the eighth man off the bench? Does that mean you think he's going to have a chance to be an all-conference player? Every coach has, I've never heard one coach that said, like, this kid did not have a good summer. He does not look good in workouts, or he's not doing this or not doing that. So it's kind of hard to tell what is smoke at this point until we actually see him on a basketball court. But I would say this. He was the best player in the SEC heading into his his junior season, right? And it was not just because of, like, physical tools and being this unbelievably skilled player. He was smart. He was switchable. He was positionless. He fit in a lot of different places. He was a superstar, but he did that as a role player, right? Like, what made him great was not because he was going to go out and get you 35 every night. It's because he'd get you 17, 10, 2, 2, and 2, and he'd do it fitting into a system without much of an ego. And I think that a guy like that could step in pretty much anywhere and be effective in a role. Now, I don't know if you're going to get the guy, if you get him, that was the SEC Player of the Year. But I do think that if you bring him in, at the very least, you're getting someone that fits in with kind of the style and the mantra that Memphis is looking to get. And I'll tell you this about him. Like he had his life kind of flash before his eyes. So to a point, I think there's a little bit of just being glad to be back on the court. You're not going to have someone coming in and expecting expectations, expecting, like, I need this many shots. Like, he's going to be playing basketball again. I think that's all he really wants to do. So I do think that I don't know, you know, I've talked with the coaches that were at Baylor, right, in the times that they were working with Jared Butler and they were working with King McClure and they were working with Isaiah Austin, guys that they knew had heart issues. And they all were saying, like, if you've never dealt with it before, it's a really complicated thing to, like, ask a kid to go push himself to exhaustion and say, hey, we need you to work this hard, knowing that one of the last times he worked that hard, he collapsed and almost died. So there's a level of difficulty that comes with coaching a player like that just I don't think a lot of people really think about. Like, it's a person-to-person thing. Are you really going to go ask a kid to push that hard when you know he's got a bad heart?
Right.
It's hard to do, and I honestly don't know if I would feel comfortable doing it. But, I mean, it's Keyontae Johnson, man. Like, you want to be able to give him a chance, I want to see him back out there, because if it's safe and the doctors are saying he's cleared, which is, you know, from what I've been told, he's been cleared to play and he's allowed to do it again. So hopefully he can. Honestly, I don't care where he goes. Just get him back on the floor and you know, let that kid have his basketball experience.
It'll be a great story, no matter where he ends up. Last thing I got for you, how much do you donate for the new Kentucky practice facility, Rob? How much of that Field of 68 money you fork over to Cal? You know they need it bad.
Can you believe that, man? How is everybody so upset about the head coach of the Kentucky basketball program saying it's a basketball school when he's trying to get more money for a practice facility? Like, what are we doing here? Mark Stoops, man, chill out.
Well, Cal didn't have to. Cal messed it up, man. Cal messed up. Cal was a little disrespectful.
Who cares?
No, because I'm saying, though, like, that's your colleague. You know what I mean? Like, that's the guy you're in the athletic department alongside. You're not supposed to try to be drawing lines.
And you turn some of your own fans against you when you play that card.
I can't believe you're taking Cal's side in this.
I'm not taking Cal's side. I'm just saying, like, why are we so upset about this?
Cal hasn't made a Final Four since you started at NBC. That's two jobs ago, bro. I mean, what are we talking about? You know?
Hey, touche, man. You said it, not me. Hey, look, you have no – I think I might have fired up the Kentucky fans more than Cal did when I said, like, look, the guy's got some pressure on his job. He just went 9-16 and followed that up with losing in the second round of the tournament.
That's right.
If we have a not great year, when you bring back the National Player of the Year, you're going to be a preseason top 14. I think this is the most excited Kentucky fans have been about a team since they were getting Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, and Bam Adebayo. And if you mess this one up, like, I don't know if you're coming back from that.
Ooh, don't disagree. Rob, you're the best, dude. Appreciate the time, as always.
All right, fellas.
Yep.
Great catch.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do it again soon. He is Rob Doster, joined us from time to time here at Field of 68, one of the best doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.